Hello, friends. Welcome to the fourth episode of Witchcraft for the Restless. I just wanted to edit in a little bit of a segment here to talk about what is happening in the world right now. I'm sitting outside, so that's why you might hear some extraneous noises. This has been my home office for a little while. I'm sitting in my garden. This episode was recorded before the murder of George Floyd, and so the main body of the episode doesn't address the current protests at all, and I didn't feel right about posting this without talking about it, so here I am editing in this little extra bit. The protests in support of Black, Indigenous, and people of color has been going on for almost a week now, and I live in a small, pretty rural town, so I can't get out physically to be at the protests supporting, so I'm doing everything that I can from here, but it's so, so important that we keep the momentum up and that we keep donating to bail funds and Black Lives Matter organizations. And we need to keep having the uncomfortable conversations with our fellow white people. People of color can't do this on their own. Obviously, if they could, it would have happened already. So we need to keep talking about it, keep donating, keep sharing. And I'm offering free tarot readings to anyone who donates $25 or more to any of the national bail funds or Black Lives Matter organizations or anything else that is in support of the protesters and abolishing the police. So please check out some links in my show notes. I'll link a bunch of things. So please keep donating. And if you have donated to one of those organizations, send me an email with a screenshot of your confirmation of donation. I'd love to offer you a one-card tarot reading from whatever deck that you like that I have on hand. And I really hope that we as a witchy community can stand up and stand together and make real change. And I think that we as a witchy community also need to make some big changes in our own practices and lives and communities. My apologies for the background noise. Someone just started cutting their lawn, but I guess that's what I get for recording outside. So in an effort to diversify your podcast feed, I'm going to list my favorite podcasts in the show notes that are hosted by people of color, so please give them a listen. There's one by NPR called Code Switch that I think is a really important listen. So please diversify your podcast feed. Diversify every area of your life. Diversify your Instagram feed. Just get more voices of color and voices of disabled people and voices of neurodivergent people and queer people, and just diversify your feeds, please. And please, if you're going to a protest, do so safely. And I know it's not always possible, but please, I hope you're staying safe. And witches, there's lots of group rituals online right now that you can participate in to support the protesters and to cast some protection. Well, this is getting to be a long preamble, and the neighbor just started vacuuming outside. They're vacuuming out their eaves troughs. How interesting. Anyways, thank you for sticking around, and thank you so much for supporting the protests. And so here we go, on to episode number 4 of Witchcraft for the Restless. Hello, friends, and welcome to Witchcraft for the Restless. Well, hi there. This is episode 4. Still restlessly isolated, and I am still in isolation, of course. For a bit of context for future listeners, as of right now, we've been in social distancing / shelter-in-place mode since March 16th here. That's when schools closed, at least. So it's been about a month and a half-ish, and it's going pretty okay, I think. I'm doing pretty great with the actual isolation part. I'm a huge introvert to begin with, so, like, the less pressure to be social, the better for me. And I know that that's, like, one of the hardest parts for a lot of people, so it feels a bit strange to talk about, like, how great that part has been for me. But, of course, like most people, my mental health has been up and down. For me, it feels like my anxiety cycle sped up, like, 5 times faster. Normally, I'll have a few good weeks, and then I'll have a bad week or two, and rinse and repeat, sort of. But that cycle has sped up real fast, and now it's just sort of a few days at a time now, with some high highs and low lows. But, like, with the sped up cycle, it feels like I'm spending a lot less time in those more moderate headspaces, which has been tricky, because it feels like I'm constantly either on my way up or on my way down, and there's just not been a whole lot of in between. So yeah, that's the thing. That's what's happening. And I hope that you guys are all faring all right during the pandemic. staying safe and such. And please do more than just the minimum CDC requirements or whatever your local health organizations have said. Do more than that, because those guidelines are supposed to be like the minimum. But I am sure that every podcast you listen to now has a very similar update these days. So let's get on to the first segment, shall we? Let's just calm the heck down and chill a little bit with What's the Witch Smoking? So right now I'm sitting in a literal blanket fort, and I made this to try and cut down on background noises and such while I'm recording. We'll see if it does literally anything at all, and I guess it'll be an experiment. And that has really nothing to do with what I'm smoking, but it's just a cozy place to be. And right now I have some Tangerine Dream in the new pipe that I just received, well, just before April 20th. I ordered a mystery pipe from Roche Glass, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. But yeah, I thought it was a fun sort of idea, and I needed to get a new glass pipe because I've just been using like silicone ones. It's not been fun ever since Soul broke. She was my first glass pipe, and she was very special to me, but she broke by accident while cleaning her, so I had to get another. So yeah, she got here just before 420, which was great, and she's this like murky green over cobalt blue glass, I believe, underneath. It's like swirly, and there's like purples in there, and she looks sort of, she reminded me of a Kelpie right off the bat, but I didn't love the name Kelpie, and so I went with Mervip, or Merwip, after the Germanic water spirits, because she sort of has those Kelpie vibes, and those water spirits sort of have a similar folklore. And yeah, she's been great, and she's beautiful. She came just in time. And then on 420, I got a little bit of a pleasant surprise. There was a happy accident in my cannabis order, and they accidentally packed 2 ounces in my order instead of just one. So that was really great. And it was just like an honest mistake on their part. I had ordered 1 ounce, and it was going to be like half one strain, half the other. But instead, they packed a whole ounce of both of those strains, Tangerine Dream and Juicy Fruit. So yeah, accidental extra ounce in my order, so that was pretty sweet. And like, what a 420 miracle. A few months ago, I sort of felt like I wasn't properly honoring cannabis in my craft. Like, I'd stopped using it magically very much, and I stopped using it in offerings as much. For no particular reason, it just sort of fell out of my habit. So when I noticed that, I made a point to be more mindful and like connected with cannabis as like a plant and like an energy better. So whatever I'm connecting with when I do that is, I guess they're a pretty generous one. And like, even though it was just like a little bit of a happy accident, it's going to be like really helpful to me, especially during the pandemic, because this is one less expense to worry about, and it's my medicine, and it's really nice to not have to worry about paying for my medicine for a little bit longer. And there's also one more worry that's sort of been crossed off of my mental worry list, which brings me to the next segment. White, bright gray ocean sky. I'm not sure what category this segment will fall under. It might just be its own little one-off topic. But I wanted to talk to you guys about my new technology. I have no idea if you'll be able to notice any difference whatsoever in anything like the audio quality or anything. But a really exciting thing just happened in my technology world. It might have been just after the last episode was posted. I actually don't remember if this came before or after that. But anyone who follows me on social media, mostly Tumblr, probably knows that my laptop is ancient. It's a 2009 model, and it's been sort of a major source of my anxiety attacks for about a year, because it will randomly not function, and then it will be like non-functional for a few days at a time, and then it will be functional for a little bit, and then it'll randomly stop me functioning. Anyways, it goes on and on. And when it wasn't able to function when I really needed it to, like, say, in order to get paid by clients and whatnot, it was a huge trigger of anxiety attacks. So I finally decided that it was worth it to use the money that my grandma left me to update my computer. This conversation is feeling really familiar, so it's either a deja vu or I've told you guys about this before. My apologies. I'll have to re-listen to the last episode and see, because this feels very familiar. But anyways, yeah, so I took a look at the hardware requirements for the types of programs that I needed to run, like this program, like Audacity or like a GarageBand equivalent, because I was using GarageBand at the time, and also Photoshop or a Photoshop equivalent. And my friend Derek helped me find out what sort of hardware specs I would need to fulfill those requirements. And there's no way that I could upgrade to another Mac. I've had a Mac for 10 years now, and upgrading to an equivalent Mac was way out of my price range. So I am having to relearn how to use Windows, because I haven't used Windows since high school. But yeah, so I got a fairly decent, like, if it fits all the requirements, I got a new laptop, guys. It's a new laptop. I'm pretty excited about it. It's sort of an adventure finding out how to do all the things that I am very used to doing on a Mac on here, and relearning programs. Like, I'm not using Photoshop anymore. I'm using Krita, and I'm using Audacity to record this instead of GarageBand. So it's a big learning curve. But so far, so good. It's just been a big weight off my shoulders, not waking up and waiting to see whether or not I would have a computer for the next 3 days or not. So yeah, it's been nice. And it was also pretty great accidental timing. I made the decision to order a new laptop well before this pandemic even happened, really. But being stuck at home without a laptop that worked, it would have been a lot harder than this has been. And along with a new laptop, I needed to replace my drawing tablet. The drawing tablet that I used to have was only Mac compatible, so I needed to get a new one. And I'm actually really excited about it, because my first drawing tablet was sort of a base model-ish when drawing tablets were somewhat new. It didn't have a monitor or anything, and it had two buttons, and that's it. And the stylus was like, okay. Anyways, this new one has a monitor and has lots of presets and is so much nicer to use. And it was rather affordable compared to when I got my first one. I guess the technology has just become a lot more affordable over time. Yeah, so that's really exciting. And that means that I can draw again. I actually spent like a couple solid hours drawing, like a sketch, like an original drawing for the first time in years the other day. And I drew hands that I don't hate. And for anyone who's ever tried to draw a person and is trying to draw hands, you know how hard that is. So I drew hands that I don't hate on this new tablet, and that was the first thing I drew, so I think that bodes well for our relationship together. But we are witches here. We're magical people, and I consider a new laptop and tablet to be a pretty big deal, and it's a really important purchase to me. Clearly, it's a once-every-11-year purchase for me. So I wanted to do a ritual to cleanse them and sort of welcome them into my practice and into my, you know, space. And I did what I ended up calling a cleansing and acquainting ritual on the new moon in March, I believe. Yeah, before I had even turned on either of these things, the laptop or the tablet. Of course, that's not like a huge deal. You can always cleanse and acquaint and claim anything else, like any time, even if you've owned it for years, so that's like not a problem. But I just felt like doing it before I had even really turned them on, because it was really great timing with the new moon there and everything. So I thought I would talk a bit about what I did for this ritual and maybe how you can formulate your own ritual. If you want more information on formulating your own correspondences and spells, you can check out the last episode. I'll put a link in the show notes to the exact time. But I talk all about correspondences, and that's part of my reference book segment. So it's sort of the background knowledge that I think is really helpful to know when you're just learning about concepts, like creating your own correspondences and formulating your own spells for the first time. So, go check that out if you're curious. So yeah, the ritual can look and be however you want, of course, but the goal here is to cleanse the items of any residual energy that it's picked up along its path, as well as getting acquainted with each other's energy and welcoming them into your space. And yeah, it's not quite a claiming ritual, because I probably won't be the only person to ever use the laptop or tablet, and I sort of see claiming as something you would do for an item that is meant for you and you alone. Or if you're claiming it with somebody else, it's meant for like you and only those who have claimed that item. And I'm not sure who will use this laptop or tablet in the future, so that's why this is more of an acquainting rather than a claiming ritual. And so for me, this took the form of smoke and sound work. And I don't typically use the term sound work to describe it myself, but it's the closest way that I can think to describe it. It's raising energy through sound and song. So yeah, and smoke cleansing is rather self-explanatory here. Oh, I'm also working on a list of definitions, and things like smoke cleansing will be included in that on my website, but it's a work in progress because I'm trying to define all of the terms that might not be familiar to people that I've used in my blog so far, so it's a work in progress. But anywho, smoke and sound work. So I start with like a gentle cleansing loose incense, and I burn my incense on a charcoal disc. And I really like loose incense, especially for rituals, because you can keep adding little bits here and there, which means you can change what you're adding as you go. So it can really be your entire ritual from like opening to like the body of the ritual and then closing. And I actually do not remember a single ingredient in that cleansing incense that I used other than oat straw. I know oat straw was in it because that was the gentle component. And I couldn't tell you why I felt like it needed to be a gentle cleansing incense at the time. It just felt like it needed to be, you know, think of it like how you would clean glass versus how you would clean a dirty frying pan. One of them's going to take a lot more scrubbing, and I didn't feel like these items needed more scrubbing, and I felt like they needed a little bit more of a gentle hand. Couldn't tell you why, but that's what I felt they needed at the time. And for the opening, sound-wise, I just put on music that started rather gently and then builds to raise more energy as I went along. And you can build your playlist however you like, because I'm sure that the style of music that gets your energy up might not be the same as mine. But if you want to check out my Spotify playlist, you totally can. And again, I'll link everything in the show notes. I don't have a specific playlist for slowly building music. I tend to build a queue of songs from my existing playlists, like in the moment. So you can build your playlist however you like. But again, the aim here is getting your energy up at this point and kind of starting where your energy is at. So if you're already at like a pretty high energy level, start with your music already at that really high level and like really continue to get that going. But if you are not in a high energy place and you are feeling kind of sluggish, don't feel like you have to start with some really blood pumping music. Let yourself start a bit more gently and work your way into it. And I feel like that can be really helpful for getting yourself in the right headspace, because sometimes the jump in energy can just be like sort of a shock to the system and shut us down a little bit. And that can make it just uncomfortable. So yeah, let your music meet you where you're at and build up from there. So then yeah, your energy is raised and you're kind of using that raised energy to push unwanted things out of your new technology. And then after I'm done that cleansing bit, I'll introduce them to my energy. Basically, I asked myself, if I was an incense, what would I be made of? And then I basically made the incense version of me, I guess. And this sort of incense blend is actually really, really useful. You can use it to introduce yourself to new purchases like we're doing here. Or they can be used to claim an item that you want to keep like only for yourself, like I was talking about. and it can sort of act as a lighter alternative to putting a physical piece of yourself into a spell. Sometimes people will put a piece of their hair or their fingernails or sometimes even urine into a spell to sort of claim something. But I feel like that's appropriate, like, only for claiming rituals and not so much with acquainting rituals. And so that's why this sort of personal incense blend can be a useful alternative. Like, it's a claiming light. Think of this ritual like going to get a first cup of coffee with someone. You're making an introduction and not so much marking your territory. And of course, you can witch how you want. You do you and all of that. That's just, you know, my recommendation. And I actually don't remember anything specific that I put in the me incense that I made. And even if I could, that's probably not something that you'd want to share an exact recipe to. Though, I guess it would probably be impossible to completely duplicate, but still. Anyway, I'll tell you a couple things that I put in it, but there was, like, lots more. I included cannabis, of course, oat straw, ashwagandha, St. John's wort, mugwort, and a few other things. And while I was adding in the me incense, I had my favorite music going and was really getting all that energy moving and flowing through the technology and myself with dance and singing and movement and all that fun stuff. And after doing that for a bit, it was time to make protections because the energy was in like a really good spot and I just wanted to sort of, you know, end on a good note and protect that energy. And I wanted to make sure that these new additions stay safe, which calls for some really like grounding and deep, maybe meditative music. And I added ingredients like nettles and hawthorn and marshmallow root, salt, rose thorn, and mullein. There were some other things, I think. You can use anything that you feel is protective and boundary setting. And then after these protections, I closed the ritual and let the incense continue to burn out and left the laptop and tablet on the altar overnight before using them. Some people might find magic like this completely superfluous or like really unnecessary, and that's fine. That's completely fine. What feels important to include in your craft is gonna be probably different than what other people have in their practices. Some witches feel it's important to cleanse pretty much every purchase that comes into their home. And some witches might not even cleanse and claim a new car or a house if they bought one. So there's a wide varying range. And if you feel like a laptop is a big enough purchase to warrant a cleansing and acquainting ritual, you should probably do it. And this ritual was probably the most fun part of getting the new laptop so far, honestly. Learning all the new software is frustrating. Apple software is just so self-explanatory and, like, user-friendly. PC software seems less so. So bear with me if anything is, like, really different or really weird about this episode. It's the first one that I'm recording on the new software. So instead of the software that I've been using for, like, 15 years, I'm using completely new stuff. And it's a learning curve over here. And so with our new tech and other items that we've just newly been acquainted with, let's get on to the next segment.
Welcome to this chapter of The Reference Book.
Well, friends, it's been 6-ish weeks of quarantine, which means seeking a lot of at-home comforts and a lot of self-care and, I have lots of time to kill. And so baths are a great way to kill quite a bit of time. And you can kill even more time by making them magical and making them into a whole ritual. And I know it sounds like a little bit patronizing to be like, baths are self-care. Because like that's not all self-care is. I'm just suggesting one little nice thing that you can do for yourself, a way to be kind to yourself. And if you feel like including your craft into a bath, you totally can. And not everyone likes baths, though, and I get that. And baths aren't accessible to everyone. So there are other ways that you can adapt this to make it accessible for yourself. Like if you don't have a bathtub or access to a bathtub, you can use these same methods to make a foot or a hand soak. Or if you don't have any access to, like, quote-unquote magical herbs,
culinary or garden herbs or things that you can find growing in your local area are fantastic, if you can correctly identify them, of course. And I think that might be the crux of what I want to get across with this entire podcast, is that you can make your craft however you like. And it's important to learn how to adapt things to your own craft and what feels right for you. And so, yeah, that is why I am generally so vague in my podcast. But of course, if you have any more like specific questions, you can totally ask me, and I will even tell you most of exactly how I practice. But if I told you just exactly how I practice, that wouldn't be very useful to you, because what if that doesn't work for you, right? So that's why I'm a little bit more vague here. So these are the bare bones of my methodology for creating a ritual bath. And all of my bath magic involves some sort of herbal material, plants of some sort. So I'll go over how I make an herbal bath, and then you can tailor that to your specific needs, of course. To start off, you're going to make a double or triple strength tea with your ingredients. And again, this is just the bare bones of any bath magic. So it depending on what you need the bath to do, like what you need this bath ritual to accomplish, you're going to choose your ingredients based on that. So this is just the like 101 basics of making any herbal bath. So a double or triple strength tea, and typically a single strength tea is 1 tablespoon of dried herbs per cup of water. So for this, you'll be using 2 or 3 tablespoons of your dried herb per cup of water instead. And how many cups of tea you want to make total is entirely up to you and how strong you like the herbal components of your bath to be. I usually make 1 or 2 quarts of triple strength tea for my fairly large bathtub. Or at least I think it's pretty big. It's pretty big for me, at least. It's bigger than most suburban bathtubs, I think. So you may only need like 1 quart maybe for your bathtub. Play around with it, see what you like. And after you've decided how much tea to make, put the herbs in tea bags or something similar. I use a fairly large drawstring cotton pouch, but you can use even a washcloth tied up in like a loose bundle. You can, of course, just put your herbs loose, say in a big pot as you're steeping them. But if you put them in something like a tea bag first or the washcloth first, that way you can add that bundle into your bathwater after your tea is finished steeping. And you can witchy this up however you like, but I usually add my ingredients in sort of a ritualized way, raising energy first and then putting that energy into the tea as I add each ingredient. And to make your tea, you'll either be using infusion or decoction, which is brewing your herbs in boiled water versus boiling water, respectively. And I'll outline the basics of like the whys and hows about those two in the show notes. Make sure that no matter what the method of preparation you're using, that you always keep a snug lid on your tea as it's brewing. And that way you don't lose all of those great volatile oils and that energy that you've just put in along with your ingredients. Most teas will take 15 to 30 minutes to brew. Some people, myself included, sometimes like to steep their tea overnight. And that can work especially well if you plan on making the tea on like a full or a new moon. After your tea is finished, I recommend filling your tub of choice halfway with warm water and then pouring in your tea. This is going to keep you from pouring boiling hot water directly into a cold tub. For a lot of tubs, that can be damaging. And then add the rest of your bath water to adjust the temperature however you like it. And that is the basics of making an herbal bath. I choose to do it this way, making a strong tea instead of just putting the herbs, like the dry herbs, directly in the bath. Because bath water really isn't going to be hot enough to extract much of anything from the plant material. So making a strong tea instead will like really make sure you get all of those green and magical goodnesses out of the plants and into the water. One thing that is crucial to remember when you're working with herbs, though, is that even topical use of a plant, like just on your skin, is still medicinal use. So you should take the same precautions and educate yourself just as much when you're using them topically as you would as if you were taking the plant internally. And it doesn't have to be just an herbal bath. You can also use ingredients other than plants, of course. Crystals are popular, but make sure that your piece is 100% safe to put in water. A lot of them are toxic and will dissolve in water, Malachite is probably the most well-known for not being water-safe, but there are lots others. So make sure that you 100% have a correct identification on your mineral before you go chucking it in your bath. If your stone isn't water-safe, though, you can put it in a watertight container, like a mason jar or something, and float that in your bath. Or you could just have that piece of stone nearby your bath, and that can be just as effective. Candles and baths also make a great pair. Some pre-bath candle magic can add some great contrast and variety to the energy of your bath ritual. Fire and water can work in really great harmony here, and can lend a nice balance, I feel. Especially if they can be joined by the other elements as well. Earth in the form of maybe crystals or your herbs, and air in the form of incense or bubble bath. I like to have each element represented in my magic if at all possible. And if you're someone who works with the fifth element of spirit, you are also an ingredient in your magical bath. So don't forget what spirit and energy you are bringing to the brew as well. So yeah, that is the skeletal outline of how I pretty much make any herbal bath, whether it's like for a big bathtub or to put in a spray bottle to bring to a ritual, a hand or foot bath, really any water-based thing that you can think of. I really love hearing what other people put in their bath recipes, so if you want to share your recipes and experiences and whatnot, I'll go over how you can message me at the end of the episode, and I'll link it in the show notes as well. This next segment leads nicely from bath magic into something that bath magic can really help with. This episode in Magical in the Mundane, we're talking about migraines. I deal with chronic, rather severe migraines, which some of you might know about from my Tumblr or my blog, and I just had a couple really bad ones recently. One was on Easter, no less. Plus, it was my brother-in-law's 40th birthday. Happy birthday, happy belated birthday, Jonathan, by the way. Don't worry. I said happy birthday to him on his actual birthday as well. So we had a Zoom party for a bit with like a bunch of his friends and family. And I would have really loved to have enjoyed it, but I was in excruciating pain. And I was sorely unprepared. And so I didn't have like the physical ability to do anything mundane really or magical to help much until the next day. So now you all can learn from my mistakes, and I'll go over some things that I usually like to keep handy to help alleviate migraine pain. Of course, I have to preface this with saying that I am not a healthcare professional. Please do not take healthcare advice from me. None of this is medicinal advice. And please don't do or use anything that's new to you without consulting a clinical herbalist and your healthcare provider. Like this includes using herbs that you don't have previous experience with topically as well as eating them. So yeah, just don't do anything without talking to the professionals. And while yes, I am a folk herbalist and I am a student of clinical herbalism, I'm not a clinical herbalist yet, so don't take my advice as such. So with all of that out of the way, the first thing that I usually try is a hot water bath for my hands and feet, with a cold pack on my forehead or back of my neck. And this works to draw blood towards your extremities, like towards the heat and away from your head and neck. Which means this works best with vascular headaches, meaning headaches that are caused by inflammation and the dilation of blood vessels in your head. But this can help ease the pain of tension headaches and migraines as well, of course. And while a plain hot water bath and a cold pack will do absolutely fine, we're witches over here and like to do everything magically. So we're going to use our bath ritual know-how from the previous segment, and we're going to apply that here. Since the hot water is going to help draw blood towards your extremities and away from your head and neck, to encourage this, I add things that will be warming and grounding and drying. Use whatever feels like it has those energies to you. By now, you know how I feel about correspondences and forming your own relationships to spell ingredients. So of course, how the ingredient feels to us as an individual is important. Don't get me wrong. The outside information, like cultural context and historical and folk use and medicinal properties, all of that is just as important when you're formulating your sort of zoomed out view of each spell ingredient. This sounds sort of like a lot to consider, and I suppose it is, but getting to know a spell ingredient is sort of like getting to know another person. Each time you interact with them, you'll learn a little bit of something new, and you'll gain a deeper understanding of their nuances and complexities. Basically, don't completely write off correspondences that other people have created, but don't rely on them solely either. It's a bit of both. And again, check out the last episode. The reference book in that episode goes over correspondences and such, and you can check that out for more information. I feel like I already said that in this episode. I have. My apologies. So, drawing and warming and grounding herbal spell ingredients, or non-herbal spell ingredients, of course, those energies go into the hot water, and then cooling, clearing, banishing, everything like that, pushing out anything that you want to push out of your body goes into the cold pack. And of course, calming and soothing ingredients can go into either or both. Oh, and when I go over the specific ingredients, I'm pretty much always talking about the actual plant material and not an essential oil. So like dried plant material, unless I say otherwise. And all of the correspondences I talk about are strictly magical or energetic uses of the plants and not medicinal. You still need to know what the plants do medicinally. Of course, you're still using them on your body. But when I'm talking about their actions here, I'm talking about their magical and spiritual actions. So I will mention some specific plants because I am very much a green witch. Plants are involved in every aspect of my craft. Yeah, let's talk about some friends. Plantain has really great drawing energy, and here we're talking about the green, leafy, weedy plant and not the big banana-looking fruit thing. A plantain, herbal plantain poultice will help draw splinters out, and that's part of what informs my use of it as a drawing agent here. It draws things out, it draws out pain, and it can speed healing and increase cell regeneration. And all the while, it is really soothing and gentle. And in a lot of folk traditions, it's used as a money-drawing herb, similar to how basil is used. So again, another drawing agent. Mustard seed is super warming and grounding, and it's a drawing-out herb as well. It's traditionally been used in chest packs for things like the flu or other lung complaints, used to draw blood to the respiratory system and help expel things from the lungs. So translating that traditional medicinal use into a magical use, a little powdered mustard seed in your hand or foot bath can help draw out the blood and the pain of the migraine. But mustard seed can be like pretty irritating to your skin, so it's best to use just a pinch for starters of the ground or powdered seed or even the whole seed. Unless you know like how your skin will react. Some people don't really have much of a topical skin reaction to mustard, but other people it really, really irritates them. And you can do a little test of this by putting some of whatever you're going to use in a tea bag and soaking that in hot water for about 5 minutes. Take the tea bag out and let it cool off a bit, and then hold it to the skin on the inside of your forearm and hold it for at least 10-15 minutes. But if you notice any burning or redness or like really irritation, that means it's not for you. And it's probably best for you to skip this as a bath ingredient, but you can totally use this as a spell ingredient that won't be used topically, like a jar spell or something. And then, another one, feverfew, is really great for preventing migraines. And so used in your bath spell, it can ward off future pain. The little white blossoms are pretty perfect for adding some lightness to your spell. One of its other folk names is featherfew, actually, probably because of its feather-shaped leaves, but I like to think that whoever gave it that name also knew or felt that it was connected to the air. So since this herb is all about the air and protecting against future pain, I'd put this one in the cold compress on the back of my neck. And next and finally, I'll talk about lavender, mostly because it's so popular. And this one is also connected with the air element, and it's really, really well known for relaxation. And of course, that means that it can lend that same energy to your bath ritual. And this is another one that would be for the cold compress on your neck. Of course, there are tons of different herbs and combinations of them that you could use for this. So please feel free to use what feels right to you when you're using them safely, of course. If you're into candle magic, dressing a black candle in the herbs you chose to draw pain out and lighting that can be really wonderful if you don't have the wherewithal to get up and make an herbal bath for yourself. And a really great idea is to have one of these candles dressed and ready to go so that if you do happen to get a migraine, you don't have to worry about having the energy to make an entire bath for yourself. Pressure points are another really great thing that can sometimes be helpful. Of course, these are like actual physical medical things that you should probably talk to your healthcare team about first, because like improper application of pressure points can be pretty damaging. So after you have the practical mundane know-how of applying pressure points, you can combine that with your candle magic, applying the pressure and practicing visualization or another meditative technique as you sit with your candle. Pressure points are kind of like a release button or valve. So the candle dressed with all your drawing herbs in black, the most absorptive color there is, to soak up all of that released pain energy. If your migraine subsides before the candle burns down, and if you're into this sort of thing, you can snuff it out and either save it for more drawing later, or you can save it to unleash the pain that it has absorbed onto a target, or you can release it somewhere else. But if you are into cursing, it would be a really effective one. That's all I'm saying. So if you do want to release it, turn your candle upside down, carve it so that the wick is exposed on the bottom, so sort of carve the bottom into the same shape as the top of a tapered candle would be. Stick it upside down and light it from the bottom to reverse that drawing action. And of course, sigils are another easy thing that you can incorporate into candle magic as well. You can carve either drawing or releasing sigils into the candle depending on what you need it to do. And a lot of people who experience migraines have existing regular mundane pain medication, myself included, of course. And if you do have regular pain meds, either prescription or over-the-counter, you can enchant it with energy to help supplement their mundane actions. For example, if it's medicine that dulls pain receptors, you might want to include cloves in your recipe to sort of double down on that numbing power. Or if it's something that has anti-inflammatory actions, I might use chamomile or marshmallow to complement that with like the cooling and soothing action of those. And of course, anything that you can draw on, you can add sigils to. So you can put sigils anywhere from like your medicine bottles and ice packs to your water bottle, really anything that you use that helps you with migraines or whatever chronic pain you're dealing with. And lastly, another great resource, it's a blog on Tumblr, and they have an entire bedridden witch series or chronically ill witch series, and it's a bunch of master posts, and there's tons of posts on there that are linked, and it's pretty well cataloged, and unfortunately, I am completely blanking on the name of the blog. Hopefully, Editing Me will jump in here with the name of the blog. Hi, it's Editing Me here, and the name of the blog that I was trying so desperately to remember the name of is Heather Witch. It's run by Mouse. Her blog is fantastic, and it's really, really well organized. I'll put a link to one of the specific posts that I'm talking about in the show notes. So that is another fantastic resource if you're looking for input from a lot of different witches. I hope that some of these things can help you find some ease in your pain, and that'll bring us to our next segment. Welcome to the Restless Witch's Garden in the Shade. I just had dinner in between segments here, and I had soup, and may I just suggest that you also have soup for dinner today, because soup is delicious. And this wasn't even good soup. This was just canned Campbell's chunky, like a beef stew. But soup is really great. And I made a really huge batch of new moon soup on the last new moon, and I have a bunch of that in the freezer. And I'm just really excited about soup. And that just gets me excited for all the vegetables that I'm growing that are going to go into soup. And yeah, so I'm just really excited. And as I'm recording this, it's been just over a month since the last episode that I published. And it is definitely spring here, so that means there's a lot of new stuff happening in the garden. The peppers that I had going last episode have been topped.
It's definition time. In horticultural terms, topped isn't used the same way that you're probably used to. Horticulturally, topping refers to chopping off the top of a plant in order to encourage side branching, and that usually encourages more production as well. So basically, instead of your plant growing just straight up, you chop off the top, and so it's forced to grow out multiple side branches instead.
The peppers have been topped twice since last we spoke, and all of the medicinal herbs that I had started are potted up, and all of the frost-tolerant ones are outside, getting acclimated, getting used to living out there before they go in the garden, which they're probably about ready to do any day now. And I also started a bunch of new seeds indoors. All of my tomatoes, dill, calendula, some poppies, California, and other varieties. Malabar spinach, ground cherries, nasturtiums, marigolds, borage, butterfly peas, and a whole lot more. And plus, I started red noodle beans and Japanese winged beans indoors just as an experiment. They're probably not going to live because they probably should be planted in place. But it's an experiment. We'll see. And then outside, I planted brassicas like kale and cabbage and bok choy. And then I had carrots and radishes and peas. And, I mean, they're still there, but squirrels have been digging them up recently. And I've never had a problem with squirrels on this property before. So I'm having to rig up some makeshift, just physical deterrents to keep them off of the tops of the soil until the plants are, like, fairly established. And a lot of those things I started indoors are sprouted and doing great. I have no sign of the mealy bugs that murdered my succulent collection. And so that means I did a pretty good job cleaning everything. Hopefully they never come back. And I'm already out of room under my lights. And one of my shop lights is broken, so I can't add more light until I can fix or replace that one. So fingers crossed that we get a little bit of an early summer so that I can get the seedlings outside sooner. And yeah, I'm so out of room indoors. And that's it for this edition of the Restless Witch's Garden in the Shade. We'll keep it a little bit short this time and bring on the last segment of the episode, our tarot reading. I've missed doing tarot readings on here. It's only really been one episode for you guys, but it's been months for me. So I've decided that I want to keep tarot readings in every episode because I miss it otherwise. But to keep it manageable for me and you guys, I'm going to keep it to one card readings now instead of a three card pull like I used to. And this way we'll get to cover a whole lot more topics because each tarot reading is not going to take up a third of each episode. And one card can give you plenty of information. So this time I'm going to be reading with the Botanical Tarot by Jessica Bott. And it's a huge deck. I backed it on Kickstarter. And she kept reaching stretch goals, which means she kept adding new suits. And so there are a whole lot in here. I actually have no clue how many. But there's lots. And that has kind of kept me from reading with it as frequently, not because I don't like it or because I don't enjoy reading with it when I do, but because it just feels a little bit intimidating. But I sort of love that. Like, it's something to work towards no matter how long you've been a reader. Like, it's just a great tool for intuition because there's so many that you couldn't possibly... I mean, I guess you could memorize every single card, but in all likelihood, you're not going to, and that means that you sort of have to rely on your intuition as your first, your first bits of information. So, a one-card pull. I've been shuffling it for a little while. And, again, this deck is huge, so shuffling it is a little bit tricky. I usually do it in parts. Okay. Well, I was thinking that maybe we would get a jumper card because this deck is so difficult to handle, but... So, what do we have? We have the Four of Mushrooms, the Corpse Finder. So, I don't know a whole lot of information about this fungus offhand. What I do know is either learned through osmosis, so I don't actually know if it's accurate, or just what's coming to mind right now. But I think that Corpse Finder mushrooms, their mycelia, their like sort of root structure, feeds on the bacteria that help break down flesh. That may or may not be 100% accurate, but that's what's coming to mind right now. I actually did not have a specific question in mind for this reading. And I'm going to say that this is suggesting that we maybe pay attention to where we are stagnant or to skills or areas of your life that are sort of rotting away and getting neglected. So whatever that is in your life right now, maybe see where you find some mushrooms growing. Maybe there'll be some symptoms of that rot. And even though this card might point you towards areas of your life that maybe are decaying, parts of your life and things in your life that diminish and decay, it's not always a bad thing. And these mushrooms are proof of that. They are reliant on that death to feed the bacteria, which then feeds them. So you can go poking around in some different areas of your life, take a look at the things that might be decaying, and either decide that you want to let them go and let them, you know, leave to the life cycle of the mushrooms and everything, or you can shine your light there and put your attention towards those areas that were feeling neglected and sort of reclaim the energy of that life cycle, right? That feels like it sounds a little bit, what's the word? Woo-woo, but, you know, better. But in more mundane terms, basically that means take a look at some different areas of your life, maybe hobbies, relationships, even career things, anything that has sort of felt more distant. Even physical activity could be one of those things. It could be like something you used to love that you sort of fell out of habit in doing. Anything that might feel like you haven't paid it any attention in a while. And sometimes those things are things that you should move away from and let them decay and rot and diminish out of your life. And it's healthy for you to move on and let the life cycle of that rot and mushroom cycle go. But other times we can reclaim those neglected areas and keep them from diminishing in our lives, and we can actually make them more abundant in our lives. So I have no clue if that's what the book says about this card, but that's what I feel like it is reminding me right now. And I hope that was helpful.
Hello everyone, it is editing me here again, and I'm still outside, so there's still going to be road noise and such. But I was just thinking back on the tarot reading, and it is quite obvious that that card was not meant for the time that I did the reading at. Probably 5 weeks ago? 5-6 weeks ago? Yeah, it's pretty clear that that card, the Corpse Mushroom, wasn't meant for 6 weeks ago, and it feels very relevant now. So I think that that card sort of was meant for when I'm posting this, not for when I actually did the reading. Like I said, the Corpse Mushroom points out where the dead things are, the things that no longer serve us, and they digest them and turn them into something useful. And does that not just sound like what needs to happen to the police system right now? It is blatantly obvious now. The Corpse Mushrooms are pointing out that is a dead system. It is no longer serving. And so we can really embrace the energy of this card and learn the lesson of this card and digest and break down what is no longer serving. And to be clear, I don't mean just the police system, although that is one very acute representation of the systems, the larger systems at play here. But I also mean the healthcare system and the insurance system, and basically all systems that we live under. The predominant culture right now is a racist one, And so in the lesson of this card is breaking that whole thing down. That which is festering and putrefying and contributing to the toxicity of the community and isn't part of healing and thriving. So break all those systems down. Anything that's breaking down a corpse, from bacteria to insects to corpse finder mushrooms, it takes time. And they are small and breaking down something that is much larger than themselves. So it takes a lot of them. It takes a community. It takes a very diverse array of species, even, to break down a corpse. And so I'll be sitting with that, and I'll hand it back over to 6 weeks ago me.
And that is all for this episode of Witchcraft for the Restless. If you want to see more content from me, find me on Patreon for a bonus episode and lots of other great monthly perks. And you can find me at The Restless Witch, no spaces, on Instagram and Tumblr, Restless_witch on Twitter. And you can email me at therestlesswitch@gmail.com to book a tarot reading or just ask a question. You could submit something for the community segment, Rustlings from the Grove, or you could just come by and chat. You can check out my Etsy shop for all my crocheted goods and everything like that, which is also The Restless Witch. And that's going to be updated with a bunch of new items soon because I have a ton of finished fantastic things just sitting in a drawer waiting to be listed. I'm waiting for the garden to green up a bit before I photograph it all to list it. So keep an eye out for some better weather and those items getting listed. This episode of Witchcraft for the Restless was written, recorded, edited, produced, everythinged by me, Kai, the Restless Witch. I'll have links to everything that I mentioned in the show notes at therestlesswitch.com, of course.
The music for this episode was Biramar by Zappa, and you can find more of their music on freemusicarchive.com.
And I hope you're faring well in this bonkers time we're living in. Talk to you in the next episode. Bye.
Skies, windows to rocks and salt, swift shade of lost cloud. We're both
Hey, if you're still listening, I want your opinion. I'm thinking of putting some ambient noises, ambient sounds in the background of the podcast, and I'm not sure if it would be too distracting or not. It would sound like this, but better. I would actually have to purchase the sound in order to actually put it behind the track. And this is just playing on my phone speaker right now, so it would sound a little bit better than this. But I do like the way it sounds, but if it's too much, or if it's too much in headphones or something, let me know. And let me know what you think. And thank you for listening all the way to the end. Stay restless, witches.